Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Let's continue with our teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God, which we started on May 1st of this year. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. And as a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered or say that the Holy Scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause the person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's Word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His holy word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, part 1, the prayer of agreement, part 2, petition prayer, part 3, intercessory prayer, Part 4, anointing with oil. These parts we have completed thus far. Part 5, laying on of hands, which we will complete today. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying give us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules in faith, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now, before I ran out of time last week, I was sharing with you how we can stir up the gift that God has placed in someone's life by laying on of hands. Let's finish this part of the teaching by examining two additional examples of this type of prayer. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That is why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, the special endowment which is in you through the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Again, we're talking about using laying on of hands to minister to others. And in this particular scripture, it is identifying a way for us to pray over others to stir up the gifts that God has given them. So I want to highlight in the first part of this verse, it says, fan into flame the gracious gift of God. And then at the end of the scripture, it says, through the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. You pastors may have also used this method of prayer when sending out missionaries to their new assignments. For my last example of the prayer of laying on of hands, let's go to Acts chapter 13. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. Acts 13, 2 and 3. Paul's first missionary journey. Verse 2 says, while they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, Paul, for the work to which I have called them. Verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them in approval and dedication and sent them away on their first journey. This is again using laying on of hands to minister to others. Let me highlight just a couple of phrases in these two verses. Starting with verse number 2, the last sentence says, set apart me, Barnabas and Saul, Paul, for the work to which I have called them. So when we do the laying out of hands, you're setting people apart. In this case, it's a missionary trip, but it can be an ordination for deacons or even a pastor or any helps ministry workers. Verse 3, the last part of the verse says, they laid their hands on them in approval and dedication and sent them away for their first journey. Family, this concludes part 5, laying on of hands. Let's move on to part 6 of this teaching. Part 6, gifts of healings. Gifts of healings is one of the 9 gifts that are in the Holy Scriptures regarding the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These 9 gifts are in general not for every Christian. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually for the ministry gifts that God has placed in the church for the equipping of the saints. The ministry gifts include those called by God to the office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 15. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Verse 11 says, and God's gifts to the church are varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets, who speak a new message from God to the people. Some are evangelists who spread the good news of salvation. And some are pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. Verse 13. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness, and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Last verse, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, in all things, both our speech and our lies, expressing God's truth, let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ. Now, this passage I'm reading is to identify, first of all, the ministry gifts and the purpose of the ministry gifts, which is to equip the saints. So these gifts, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, really work through those individuals who have been called to one of these offices. But I'm going to let you know that as long as you are make yourself available, you can be used as well. Before we go further, I do want to highlight once again some key information just as a emphasis of those ministry gifts. So in verse 11, it says, He Himself, or God, has appointed some as apostles. Apostles are those special messengers and representatives of God. He also appointed prophets. Those are individuals who speak a new message from God to the people. God also appointed evangelists. Those are who spread the good news of salvation. And then, of course, He appointed pastors and teachers. And those individuals are to shepherd, guide, and instruct the people of God. Then in verse 12, I want to read the verse pretty much in totality. It says, to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. That is the purpose of the ministry gifts. That's their assignments, to build up, equip, and to teach the people how to work the word of God. Verse 13, it says, until we all reach oneness in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer. Let's drop down to the bottom of that verse. It says, manifesting His spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. We're talking about the ministry gifts and their responsibility to the body of Christ. That's why God has appointed these individuals, so that we could equip the saints. Verse 14, first part says, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature. God wants His children to grow and be strong, mature Christians who can fulfill their assignments with excellence. Last portion of the verse says, let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ. That is the assignment of the fivefold ministry gifts. Although the gifts of the Holy Spirit are primarily for the ministry gifts, God does work through Christians who make themselves available. Therefore, every Christian filled with the Holy Spirit may on occasion be used by the Holy Spirit in any one of the manifestations of the nine gifts. One of these gifts that is often in demonstration in the local churches is the gift of prophecy. I know that in my old church in California, on almost every Sunday, we would receive a word from the Lord through a prophetic utterance. And many of the prophecies spoken were a direct benefit to me. I always came ready to hear what the Lord had to say and paid close attention as to how the word spoken could assist me to grow spiritually. Further, my husband and I are not called to the office of prophet. However, we have been used through the leading of the Holy Spirit to speak a prophetic word over a particular person and or a general word to a congregation on several occasions. And in all the cases when we spoke, the word given has been a blessing to us and those receiving the word. Now, as the body of Christ, each time we get together to worship our Lord, we should desire that the best gifts of the Holy Spirit be in operation to meet the needs of God's people gathered together that day. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 28 through 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31. Verse 28 says, "So God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use, first apostles, chosen by Christ, second prophets, those who foretell the future, those who speak a new message from God to the people, third, teachers, then those who work miracles, then those with the gifts of healings, the helpers, the administrators, and speakers in various kinds of unknown tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" Verse 31. "But earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts, if acquiring them is going to be your goal. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one of the choicest graces, and the highest of them all, unselfish love." We're talking about the 9 gifts that are worked through the Holy Spirit as He wills. But I do want to again point out that it is through the ministry gifts, for the most part, that these 9 gifts operate. So up in verse number 28, I want to reread portions of the verse. It says, "So God has appointed," not man, "God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then those who work miracles, then those with the gifts of healings, the helpers, the administrators, and speakers in various kinds of unknown tongues." God has given these gifts for the equipping of the saints. So here's another verse that defines and then emphasizes the need for the ministry gifts and their responsibility. Drop down to verse 31. It says here, it tells us as Christians, earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts. Now, the greater gifts is in reference to whatever the congregation needs. It doesn't mean that one gift is better than the other, but rather that at any one particular time, one gift is more necessary because of the needs of the people. So when we pray before we go to church, we should be praying that God will manifest through the Holy Spirit one of these gifts that will minister to the people gathered together that day. Let's also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to read verse 39 and 40. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 and 40. 39 says, "Therefore, believers, desire earnestly to prophesy, to foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people, and do not forbid speaking in unknown tongues." Verse 40. "But all things must be done appropriately and in an orderly manner." Again, let me highlight some key phrases for all of us who desire these gifts to be in operation. In verse 39, it says, "Believers desire earnestly to prophesy." So we should be praying that the word, prophetic word, will flow when we get together so that we can hear what God has to say to his people. And then verse 40 says, "Let all things be done appropriately and in an orderly manner." That should be the key for any church service, that we always do things decently and in order that will edify and build up the church and glorify our Heavenly Father. Family, please keep in mind that these 9 gifts operate as the Holy Spirit wills, not based on our need. Therefore, we should not confuse the manifestation of these supernatural gifts with the need for each Christian to develop and live by faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, that tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. In short, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gifts of healings, are advertisement for the non-believer. I will not do an in-depth study of these 9 gifts under this teaching, but I do want to give you a general understanding of the 9 gifts and why we should desire and pray that they will be in operation when we come together to worship our living God. Let's start with a brief description of the 9 gifts. First, 3 of the gifts are gifts of utterance. They say something. They include different kinds of tongues. This is a supernatural utterance in languages never learned by the speaker, not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily always understood by all the hearers. Example. Here is an example of different kinds of tongues in operation. My cousin Alice spoke Chinese perfectly at a church meeting, although she never learned the language or knew what she said. After the church service was over, a woman came to her to thank her for that word from the Lord. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and then I will give you some comments about this example. Mark 16, 17 says, "And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, languages." I'm going to highlight a couple of phrases in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It says, "Those who have believed." Those who believe. It says, "In my name, they will speak with new tongues or languages." You have to believe, Christian. If you want the supernatural gifts in operation in your church and in your life in particular, you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe that God wants this for you, and then you're going to pray and ask the Lord for you to be used and others in your church to be used so that these gifts can flow freely in your church settings. Now, the reason I want to go back to this example is because my cousin Alice is not Chinese. She did not know the language. She never studied the language. But the Holy Spirit wanted to reach this individual who knew this language at that particular time. And so when my cousin Alice spoke those words, that language, she did not know what she was saying. But by faith, she allowed the Holy Spirit to use her as a tool to get this message to this woman. And it worked, and the woman was blessed. The second gifts of utterance is interpretation of tongues. This is a supernatural showing by the Holy Spirit the meaning of an utterance in other tongues. So, in other words, someone has spoken in an unknown language, and another individual, or even that person who spoke the utterance, will interpret that the meaning of that word. Here's an example. This happened to me in the first year I got saved. I was in a church service, and I began to speak in a heavenly language nonstop. My cousin Jerry was at the podium leading the service. I motioned to him to interpret on my behalf. As I spoke in the heavenly language, my cousin gave the interpretation to the congregation. This went on for several minutes until I felt led to stop. The manifestation was a blessing to Jerry, myself, and the hearers of the word. Again, I did not know what I was speaking in my natural mind, but I knew by the leading of the Holy Spirit that it was His will that I speak that word to the congregation. But He did not give me the interpretation. He gave another individual the interpretation of what I was saying, and all was a blessing. And I thank God because I was obedient and my cousin Jerry was obedient. All of us were blessed. The third type of special utterance or gifts of utterance is prophecy. This is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue to the hearers. Prophecy under the New Testament is to exhort, edify, and comfort. Not more than 2 to 3 people should prophesy. Under the Old Testament, it was foretelling the future. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 and 29. Verse 27 says, "If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be limited to 2 or at the most 3, and each one speaking in turn, and the one must interpret what is said." Oh, family, I'm looking at my time, and I do not have time to finish this scripture for you today. However, please come back next Wednesday as we continue with our teaching, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.